Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer. A silent Ed Stetzer.
Yes, you are. Well, you know, I'm thinking deeply about this moment of how we can serve church planters and really the ecclesiological and missiological realities that undergird the North American and ultimately the global English-speaking context, but also those who listen to other languages as well.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Okay. I just thought you were warming up from the deep freeze of last week. That's all.
No, it's all good. It was colder than a legalist heart. Actually, it was colder than a Lutheran legalist heart. Because if you can find a Lutheran legalist, that is a cold heart. Because Lutheranism, you know, does not promote legalism generally. So it's colder than a Lutheran legalist heart.
Well, as most of North America is trying to warm up from the cold, let's try to segue away from that interesting comment. And
Lutherans Yes. Everywhere. All the Lutherans get the joke. All Lutherans get the joke. Everyone else like, was he being mean to Lutherans? Or Lutherans like, no, totally. Pass another beer. You know, so it's totally. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So
you and I would just have our root beers together.
Precisely. So, hey, this next question is a compilation of really a bunch of questions that I'm hearing from 30s, 40-year-olds who are just trying to discern their next step. So here it is. How do you discern that next step? Is it planting? Is it succeeding a legacy church pastor? Is it continuing where you are? And this is coming from a lot of guys who are like, okay, I sense that next step. I'm ready to take a first chair position, or maybe they are already in a first chair position, but they want to get into a situation where they can multiply more frequently as a church. So what would you say to that?
Well, wow. So that's like one of the fundamental questions of the Christian faith is how do I determine what God wants me to do next? People have written whole books on that, you know, and decision-making in the will of God is one that a lot of people have talked about. You know, I guess for me, for something like this, I would take the time to pray and to fast. And really what I would specifically do is I would pray and fast until I got a clear sense of what's next. I've never made a move that I didn't either have a clear sense or I prayed and fasted till I got a clear sense that this is what the Lord wanted me to do. So those are the kinds of things that for me, I think, I really think ultimately discerning, you want to be able to know, you want to be able to know for sure that what you're doing, because it's all going to hit the fan eventually, and you want to be able to say, you know, thank God that I did what the Lord called me to do, because I'm going to need to go back to that day when I was sure beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is what the Lord called me to do. So I guess for me, it's maybe a pietistic answer. So my Lutheran friends, who I called legalists earlier, will appreciate this. It's I want to pray until I have a greater sense of clarity, still knowing that I see through a glass darkly when I take that next step. But really, for me, one of the things that bothered me early on, you know, in our denomination, there are a lot of ladder climbers. And, you know, they kind of got connected with the right person in the denomination. Turned out maybe it wasn't the right person in the denomination later, but because kind of the partnerships and stuff kind of shifted. But it's sort of like, you know, I'm going to start with a small church of 50 in school, and then I'm going to church of 100. And then I'm just looking for that church of 200. And then I'm just, you know, hungry for that church of 500. And then maybe one day I'll get a committee assignment, and maybe one day I'll be an agency head. And, ooh, man, that stuff just is I don't think that's of God at all. And so what I would say is, man, go to that church of 100 that God calls you to, or the church of 50, and just pray and believe until God tells you to do something else. And you might find he leaves you there your whole life, and that's exactly where he wants you. So I don't know. I just don't like the weaselness that sometimes I see people trying to go through our denominational levels, as they see it, for their career. You know, for me, maybe I'm terrible at this. You know, I graduated college, moved to the inner city of Buffalo, New York, and started a church among the urban poor. So I wasn't looking for the denominational leader path, and I sure saw a lot of people who were mad that they didn't get the job when they were on that path.
So that's a really interesting point, right? Because sometimes it's like, well, even for you, Ed, I mean, you have served in quite the number of you know, high capacity leadership roles. So how do you, you know, it's not necessarily saying that you try to navigate your way up the ladder, so to say. But how do you, but you did go up the ladder in a sense.
Yeah,
so how do you
actually,
deal with
I'm
that
not,
tension?
I wanted to yeah. impact people, and I wanted to impact evangelicalism. And so I wouldn't say that I am free of the idea of what I think is a godly ambition to make a bigger impact. For me, it's more of like when you're going to pastor, you know, and again, you know, there's not a career path that starts in the inner city of Buffalo, New York among the urban poor. And what I saw is a lot of people who just didn't want to walk some of the journey, pay some of the dues, stay there for years and years and years and make a difference. And what they wanted to do is to find and follow a path that hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe tens of thousands have run before them. And I just don't think that's the case. For example, you know, when I came here to Wheaton College from Lifeway, you know, I was sort of your boss, even though you weren't on my team, but I did hire you somewhat, kind of. but you know, so I came here, and I can tell you, academia doesn't pay what nonprofit, you know, publishing pays, you know. But this is where Lord wanted me to be. You know, I came to a smaller team. I came to a you know, smaller organization that could support some of the things we were doing. But this is where the Lord wanted us to be. So I don't know. We've really gotten off on this, but I do think it really, for me, a big part of that is I love it when I hear some pastor that is just, or you know, church leader or whatever, that's just been praying and fasting what they're supposed to do, and then he or she decides to take a role that nobody expected. You know, I was talking to a pastor recently who was pastoring a church of 3,000, and God called him to a church of 200. And he said, I just knew. And if God never calls you to an undesirable place or to a smaller place or to a lesser salary, I'm not sure that you're fully open to what the Lord's leading. And so for me, it's that prayer, and that's fasting, is that until I got clarity. I remember one time, man, I couldn't get clarity, and I think I fasted for 20 days until just really Don and I both were at a place where we knew this is what the Lord wanted us to do. But it was worth paying the price to get that answer.
No, that's good. Well, what would you say then to, I mean, every day in the U.S., 10,000 boomers reach the age of retirement, right? And we're seeing a lot of senior pastor legacy successions in larger churches happen. And, you know, it's going to continue to happen over the next 10, 15 years. So what would you say to the pastor who's saying, hey, should I go plant, or should I go and, you know, if the opportunity comes, take a position with this larger church and move this church more toward multiplication, much like what J.D. Greer and Matt Chandler have done with their churches, because they didn't plant theirs.
Okay, so they didn't. But you're saying that the person, give me that context again. So someone's like getting older, they are the boomer,
one of the 10,000 boomers? Is maybe like a millennial or a Gen Xer who has the opportunity, should I go plant, or should I take over a larger church and transition that church more toward multiplication?
Part of the challenge is some of those older pastors who didn't plan, I don't know the right word, well or ahead, that they are holding on because they don't have another option. So what you have right now in a lot of churches is you've got sort of a very much older leader at the top who didn't plan well, maybe even opted out of Social Security, so can't go anywhere, needs this income, regardless of how it impacts the church. So I think a better... And so therefore they can't, you know, have a young pastor come along that they help raise up and run from there. So I would say if I was that younger, you know, millennial, whatever. I noticed, by the way, you just skipped over Gen X.
No, I said millennial and Gen X.
Like we didn't exist.
I said millennial and Gen X.
We're right here. We're right here, man. Just when you know we're right here.
Rewind and listen. I said both.
Can we rewind? I don't even know if that's a thing. So I would say that if there's not room in leadership, that you might look elsewhere to find and exercise leadership. But ultimately, too, I don't think planting a church is a bad thing. I don't want planting a church to be just a strategy because I couldn't get the big chair. You know, I want it to be something that God's called you to do, which kind of leads back to that prayer and fasting and being sure that's what God's called
completely,
you to do.
Completely. And what I'd add on to all this is the importance of leading your family well through transition. Because if you're married, God's not just going to speak to one spouse, he'll speak to both. And you can't say, especially if you're the husband, say, hey, God has called us here, so you need to submit, because it says in the Bible, you know, wife, that you need to submit. And I mean, you can't, that's not shepherding well. That's not loving the church like Jesus loves the church. So in that way, it's not just about prayer and fasting yourself, but you need to be doing that with your spouse as well, and involve your kids too at an appropriate level, depending on their age. So even you know, Ed, I'm curious, as you were moving over to Wheaton, at what point did you involve your kids? Because your kids are older than mine.
Yeah, so the oldest one, gosh, let me subtract 2.5 years. She was 17, and we did involve her, but partly because she had decided to go to Wheaton College before we decided to go to Wheaton College. So I was like, hey, guess what? We're coming too. And we're the ultimate helicopter parents. But the younger two, we didn't, I mean, they sort of knew that we believed our time was coming to a switch. And so they knew, you know, so it kind of dropped that we were praying about. There was an opportunity in Florida, opportunity in California, opportunity in Chicago. So we were sort of praying about them. But they kind of, by the time they made it pretty clear that none of those opportunities were going to be acceptable to them. And we said, well, you know, we're just praying about it. And says, well, you know, we're going to see what the Lord leads us to do. And Jacqueline says, well, the Lord's not mean to lead me to the move. So there you go. So, you know, there's a certain age that, you know, they were teenagers. So what are they, 16? So 2.5 years ago, that was 13 and a half. So it was not super, like, it wasn't two of the three kids were not in on or enthusiastic about the move. But when we got there, were, and do believe that the Lord was in
it. That's good.
Let me tell you something that what is his name? Who used to be at Mountain Lake? Sean Lovejoy. So Sean Lovejoy was one of the people who gave me advice. It was interesting. I talked to Dave Travis, and his advice was, do whatever your wife wants to do. Because basically, you know, at your age, you guys have done a lot of adventure, you know, planted churches over different places. Now it's her turn, so she can pick. I said, okay, that's good advice. And then Sean Lovejoy said to me, that's terrible advice. Because your wife will always, again, this is just his advice. I'm not saying it's true for everyone, because he had certain insights into us. Your wife would always choose stability over change. And it was interesting is that I actually decided to go with both of their advice. Even though it's contradictory, I basically said to Donna, listen, I know that this is, you know, a big change, and I want you to be at peace that this is what the Lord wants us to do. And so Dave Travis said, do what your wife wants. And I did. But my wife at first was like, I think we're pretty happy here in Nashville at Lifeway. But ultimately the Lord worked in her heart, and she wanted to be here at the Billy Graham Center as well.
That's good. Well, thanks again for listening into today's episode. New Churches, this podcast is a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. So be sure to check out the Ask Me Anything podcast with J.D. Greer and Todd Unzicker. A few of their recent episodes are, how do you guide kids who are exploring their sexual identity? What are the first steps in creating a sending culture in your church? Is white privilege real? So it's just like the New Church's Q&A podcast. The episodes are pretty short, about 10, 15 minutes, and it's neat the way the different questions that they end up answering and wrestling through. So be sure to check them out.